Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mashiach Yahushua, for pouring on us Holy Ruach. So that's the teaching tonight, which will be on walking by the Ruach, which when I say Ruach, that is the Hebrew word that they sometimes translate spirit. It's also breath, it's also blast, it's also wind. So it's an invisible force. And it's also, what we're going to talk about is walking by the Ruach, or where Yahweh speaks. So, we're going to Numbers 12, verse 1. And so we're going to do some application. Here's what the Word has to say, and then we're going to apply it in our own lives so other people can be instructed in this. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, verse 1. And Miriam and Aharon spake against Moses on account of the Cushite woman whom he had taken, for a Cushite woman had he taken. And a Cushite woman is an Ethiopian, and so his wife was probably Negro. And they said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? So here's the context. With us also hath he not spoken? So we're talking about revelation, hearing from Yahweh, which is also hearing from Christ. And Yahweh heard it. Yeah, I just love that. Doesn't he hear? But here's the emphasis. Yahweh heard this. That's rebellion. Now the man Moses was patient exceedingly above all the sons of the earth who were on the face of the ground. Then said Yahweh suddenly unto Moses and to Aharon and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tent of meeting. And they three went out. Then Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aharon and Miriam, and they both went forth. Then said he, hear, I beseech you, my words. When you have your prophet, as Yahweh in a vision, will I make myself known unto him. And that's very important, because we're playing it to us. So as a prophet, he's going to communicate as a vision. Will I make myself known unto him? In a dream, will I speak to him? Not so, my servant Moses. In all my house, trusty is he. Mouth to mouth do I speak with him. This next verse is what we're all going to be looking at. And plainly, not in dark sayings. That's the vision, that is the dream, is dark sayings. And we're going to look at that word. That word is Hida, H-I-D-A, Numbers 24-20. Plainly, not in dark sayings. And we're going to see it, this is a noun, but it's also is going to be translated riddle. And so when you see about Samson, he's always doing a riddle. And so we understand, okay, it's not clear. With Moses, and plainly, not in dark sayings. And the form of Yahweh does he discern, wherefore even were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses. So, we would all love to be like Moses. And all of our daily journey is, Yahweh, what's my agenda today? And here's a messenger or Yahweh saying, okay, Elijah, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And when this happens, there'll be alarm because this is going to happen. Okay, just lay out my whole day. I got it. And I'll follow that. But that's not what happens. In our real life, we have to learn how to be sensitive and intentional to tune in to dark sayings. Because we would love to have audible voices coming, but the audible voice is not going to come. Very rarely, I've never had an audible voice. And so it's a communication. And a communication, it's not a voice we say, well, Yahweh said to me, or Christ said to me. When we say that, we don't mean an audible voice. We're talking about a communication. Information has been given to me on what to do in this situation. And we'll give some examples of that while we're on our trip. Now we go to Judges 14:12. Deuteronomy Judges 14:12. and you're going to see the two words used together with Samson.
So dark stains are what?
Dark stains are Hida, H-I-D-A, and we're going to look at how it was translated. It's just not real clear. It comes from a verb, and which is hood, which means to put forth. And we're going to see both the words in the same sentence, the verb and the noun in this verse. Hida, the first usage was what we just read, Numbers 12:1-8. Numbers 12:8. The dark saying is not in dark sayings. We're good. And why do you bring up the dark saying? Because I'm telling you the difference between you prophets, Aharon and Miriam, and Moses.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference. Okay. You have visions and dreams.
Mouth to mouth.
This guy, he comes in and he sees my vision, mouth to mouth that I speak to him. There is no, not quite sure of what was actually communicated to me. And we're going to see that through the apostles. Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul. We're going to see things that are not quite sure what was actually communicated. What am I supposed to make of this? And I think why it would be a dark saying is it requires faith that something's there and I must dig down into it. And I guess what? You're not going to get cocky. You know, Yahweh's speaking to me like, boom, boom, hey, back off, man. Me and Noah are like that. And Moses was not, because he was humble more than anybody else. He didn't want the job.
Yeah.
I was speaking with me. But what does that entail? Well, people are going to hate your guts.
You're going to feel guilty, right?
I'll pass. I like people to like me. For all of us, the mom, there's many people, especially black ministers, who want to call themselves apostles and prophets. And you got people like Ken Copeland who calls himself a prophet, but he's a multi-millionaire jet-driving pilot, and his family's all millionaires too. And you're like, isn't that interesting? Because according to Apostle Paul, the apostles, they are the dredge of the earth. Mm-hmm. And people spit on them, they stone them, everything that you wouldn't want. And is what happened. You know, Paul was stoned and whipped 200 times, stoned, shipwrecked. That's my job. I want to be an apostle. No, I want to be an apostle because everybody's belonging then. And so when you're a self-appointed apostle, you've exalted yourself because first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers. In the rank, apostles are at the top. So who wants to be the apostle? You want to be on the top. On the contrary, they're not apostles and they're not prophets. When you have to call yourself apostle or prophet, you're not. People should be able to look at you and say, that person has a ministry. And when they look at Samuel, they could say, this guy walks with Yahweh because what he says comes to pass. And so you say you're a prophet, we'll watch. And we'll observe. And we'll look at your life to see if you have that connection, that supernatural connection. But that's not the story.
Now, where did you say
Judges 14:12, and here is Samson, going to use the two words, the dark saying. And Samson said unto him, I pray you, let me put you forth a riddle, and put you, is the word hood, to put forth a riddle. And the noun is hida. And so there's both words, one after another. And we all know what a riddle is. What does a riddle mean? I don't quite know. Can I figure it out? Yes. But it's not clear. Dark sayings. That's why I say it's dark sayings, because it's not quite clear of what it is. If it was clear, then it's not a riddle. But that's the first time the verb hood is there. It's in Judges 14:12. And now we go to 1 Kings 10:1. Give you another example. One more of this. And when the queen of Sheba heard the report of Solomon as pertained to the name of Yahweh, she came to prove him with obtuse questions. And that is, yeah, no, it's not hood. It is hard questioning or dark sayings. And that is hida. But off of hood, but obtuse questions. So we get the idea. And so what we're going to do that is Yahweh, through Christ, is going to communicate to us in the same manner. So we have to be intentional, and intentional means I'm actually seeking it. An intentional person plans their day. You know, an intentional person prays for people regardless of how they feel. You know, an intentional person, each day begins, and my job is to help people in my work or anything else. If you are not intentional, things are not going to happen. Things are going, you're either making things happening or you're watching them happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go to a waiter, are you going to inject into his life, or you could care less about the waiter? So we just went out to lunch today. Do you ever ask a waiter, how's your life? I mean, he's supposed to serve you, but you could say, how's your family? What's your name? And that's being intentional, that actually I'm showing some interest in you, what the average person is going to want. Maybe I could care who, I don't know who you are. Unless I get mad at you, then I have to say, Bob, what's his name? Bob, get over here. Being intentional is an effort that you have to do. A psychologist used to say that. I thought it's very important to be intentional to receive the communication from Yahweh and Christ every day. Now we're going to see Peter in that example, Acts 10. We're talking about dark sayings. You know, with the house of Cornelius, was he an apostle? Yes. Did he have Holy Spirit? Yes. Is he more important than me? Absolutely. You have a better connection than me? Absolutely. I mean, he still had the same rule, but he was with Christ. He raised the dead. You know, right before this, he raised Tabitha from the dead, from among the dead. And we're going to see in 10:9-20. Remember the house of Cornelius? The Gentiles or the nations are not ready to receive holy rule without being circumcised. And this is when the church actually begins. The church did begin on Acts 2. That was just the outpouring of the holy rule. 9. Now tomorrow, as those men were journeying, the guy is coming from the house of Cornelius to come and get Peter. And unto the city drawing near, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. That's intentional. Well, they're about Muslims. They pray 3 times a day at certain times of each day. Every day they pray at this hour, this hour, this hour. That's called being intentional. But he became hungry, and what should he do? Eat, and while they were making ready, there came upon him a trance. And that's ecstasia. And it's not a trance, as we think of losing control by some demonic force. But ecstasia means you went into like another world. You know, where we get ecstatic, and there's actually a drug called ecstasy. And where it puts you into a whole other world using that word ecstasis. And so he's on it, and he's hungry, and all of a sudden, woo, he just goes off someplace. Look where he goes. And he beholds heaven opened, and coming down a kind of vessel, like a dark linen cloth. Is this a dark saying? Yeah. I mean, you're trying to say, what the heck is this? What am I saying this? And by his 4 corners being let down upon the earth, in which all the quadrupeds, you know, that's mammals. Quadruped is four-legged animals. And creeping things of earth and birds of heaven. And there came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Is this a dark saying? Because Jews can't eat creepy things. There's no lobster. You don't eat snake. You don't eat lizards. And all of a sudden it's like, kill and eat, Peter. No! So is this a dark saying? Absolutely. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, because at no time have I eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice came unto a second time unto him, what things Yahweh has cleansed, be not thou making common. Now this took place thrice, and not only once, 3 different times, and you're like, and straightway was the vessel taken up into heaven. Was he clear on what he was going to do? Had no idea what he was going to do. You know, you're kind of trying to decipher this. Is it a riddle? Yeah. So think of Samson, the word riddle, a dark saying. You're trying to figure out what the heck was that all about. And as within himself, Peter was doubting. So remember that. The doubting can come with revelation. What the vision which he had seen might mean, Lord, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having sought out the house of Simon, stood at the gate. Ah, this is what we had. We had a cab driver. We were just in Athens. I'm going to give you illustrations. A cab driver. I don't like cab drivers because usually in the United States, they'll try to take you. And this guy started telling us, don't do this. If they try to charge you this charge, okay, I want to see the receipt. Give me the receipt. Get their cab number. On and on and on. And we're like, okay, that was very nice. The next cab, the guy did exactly what he said. So this guy had revelation to warn us about an event that was about ready to happen. And he didn't know that. So many times when you have that, speak it. And all of a sudden, because now it became clear, aha! The trip cost us $8 to go to the museum. And this, when we got in this cab to come back, he said, well, this is Friday, and it's triple time on Friday, 49 euros from an $8 drive. He said, 49 euros. And he wouldn't pull up in front of the hotel because they could read his license plate, the cab, and they could report it. And so this whole thing, so I got out of there with 20 euros. I said, it was only 10, and usually with a tip, or 8 euros with a tip, it'd be 10 euros. I'll give you 15. 49 euros! And this whole thing, got out over 20. But the point was, that was revelation. We were instructed before an incident happened. And we didn't know at the time that it was going to happen. So that's the same way with Peter, and all of a sudden the guys show up, and all of a sudden, who are you? Come here, because somebody said, a messenger came to my boss and said, come and speak to us. Well, who are you? We're nations. We're not circumcised. Well, that is the revelation. Well, let's go to 19. And as Peter was sojourning over the vision, the ruler said, lo, two men seeking thee. Arise, go down and be journeying with them, nothing doubting, because I have sent them. Does he understand what's about ready to happen? No, he still doesn't know. And Peter going down to the man and said, lo, I am he whom you are seeking. What is the cause of which you are come? And then they go and explain this. And even when he got to the house of Cornelius, you're like, we're not even supposed to be with these guys. You know, because they're Gentile. I mean, they're nations. They're uncircumcised individuals. We're not supposed to be with them. And all of a sudden, tell us about Yahweh. And he started telling them, and all of a sudden, they started speaking in tongues. Whoa! But he took 6 people with him. Other Hebrews with him to say, I need witnesses on this. And then all of a sudden, but there was a dark saying. Now we're going to go to Paul, chapter 16 in Acts. And so we should be expecting these things. If you're attuned each day, okay, Yahweh, I'm signing up for work. Christ, you're my head, I'm signing up for work. Keep me abridged of what's going on. But here's Paul teaching the word, chapter 16, verse 6. And they passing through
Phrygian
and Galatian country, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, so that was communicated. But coming from Mysia, they were tempted to journey into Bethantium. And so here's where we're going.
Yeah.
And the spirit of Yahushua suffered them up. And so you got to go forward. But passing by Mysia, they came unto Troas. And in vision by night, that was, remember, Numbers 12. I speak to you by vision and dreams. Unto Paul appeared a man of Macedonia there was standing and beseeching him and saying, come out unto Macedonia and bring us succor. And when the vision that he had seen straightway, we sought to go forth unto Macedonia, concluding that Yahweh had summoned us to tell the glad tidings unto them. Wouldn't it have been easier if just Yahweh had a messenger to come back and say, hey, forget any place else, you're going to Macedonia. Okay. But it doesn't happen that way. They went to this place, whoop, stop. And then go over here, whoop, stop. Where are we supposed to go? You go to sleep, and all of a sudden, bing, okay. So the Apostle Paul, or the greatest apostles, Apostle Peter, one of the greatest apostles, dark sayings. We all like to be clear, but it's not going to happen. And so whatever, Yahweh's got the reasons. So we know the three gift is Holy Ruach. That's Acts 1:8. We know that people receive power. Acts 1:8. He shall receive power once the Holy Ruach comes. The Holy Ruach is not God the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. It is an invisible force. It's power. It's associated with Ruach means breath. Spirit actually means breath. And now it's taking on a whole different meaning what people do. But breath means you're alive. Breath means that you're animated. You're not dead. And breath means power. And so with wind is an invisible force, breath is an invisible force, the Holy Ruach on is an invisible force, you can't feel anything, but you have to recognize it's there and to tap into it.
And it's a gift.
We're going to go into, Romans 8, 9 through 15 talks about the gift of the Holy Ruach, the power force, and in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5, and 24 to 25, you get to see that's prophesying, that's speaking in tongues. When you prophesy to an individual, the secrets of his heart are made manifest. How they're made manifest? Because it's impossible for you to do that. And so when you prophesy to an individual, the thoughts are just going to come. They're not going to come until you start speaking. You can't say, tell me everything first. It doesn't happen that way. It's in the acting. It's in the going forward that things happen. So we know with all our manifestations, there's never a point where speaking tongues and interpret. Got nothing. No. It's always there. Do I have anything ahead of time? No. I have nothing ahead of time. There's nothing memorized or anything like that. It just starts speaking. If you don't speak, not going to happen. Now, the point is for you guys to be able to realize, so on our adventure, practical application. So before we were going, we went on a trip for 2 weeks to Athens or Jerusalem, Santorini, and different places like that. My son said, Aaron, take a screwdriver for glasses. Well, we never needed a screwdriver for glasses. So that wasn't from Father. He probably thought it was from Father, but it wasn't from Father. Day later, he gave a prophecy to say, you're going to have mishaps on this trip on transportation. Don't let it affect you. What happened is, we're flying to, we get on a plane to go to Chicago. Well, the plane in Wichita can't go to Chicago because Chicago's in a big storm and people are looping around it. And so we had to wait an hour in Wichita on the plane before we took off to Chicago. Okay. Well, when you're going with, we're supposed to go to Chicago. What's it going to Chicago? Chicago to New York, New York to Athens, Greece. Well, you know, if you got over an hour or 2 hour wait, you're going to miss the flights, the connecting flights. And there's only going to be one that goes to Athens, Greece. Or you have to wake up the next day. So we get into Chicago. But we're still fine, to get our plane. So we got on our plane. There were mechanical problems. And then there was lightning, so the planes couldn't take off. And you're talking about maybe a 2.5 hour delay now. Now, we're supposed to be in New York, and we're going to miss our flight to Greece, to Athens. But Aaron, we prepared us for this, and so I started going to the guy and said, okay, what can we do? And he said, okay. He put us on a plane to Munich, Germany.
And said, that
work? Yeah. And then it was going to go to Greece, Athens. We got ready for the plane on Munich, Germany, and it was an hour late trying to get out of Chicago. You know, you're just like,
okay. Don't go to Chicago.
Yeah. But we had like an hour layover before we went from Munich to Athens. Well, now that hour is gone. So by the time we're leaving, the Athens plane is supposed to take off. So there's no way we're gonna miss that flight to go to Athens, which means you're gonna have to get a hotel room and spend a night, all this stuff. Well, we got there and it was supposed to take off
for 30 minutes.
Yeah, they held the plane for 30 minutes. So we got on there, But then our luggage couldn't transport.
We had no luggage.
Because, you know, they couldn't get off the plane to get on, because we had to run to the other place to get on there. The doors were already closed. So we went to the airport, and the we had a big suitcase, this is important, on the
first plane
in Chicago that was going to Athens. We couldn't get that off, so we had our carry-ons. They ended up coming to Athens about 3 hours later. So the person said, just stay here, another flight's coming in, and I'll have your luggage. And that was our carry-on. So we got that. Then we were waiting for our big luggage, which is half our stuff. And we waited for a day. And the airline says, well, it's on its way. And then we waited for another day. It's on its way. And then we're on the third day, and the next day we're going on the boat. If we don't have that luggage, and the airport's a long ways away. She had most of all her clothes on it.
Not in the red one. I had them in the little ones that were still on the...
No, but we had those. Okay, so the big one. So the point is on this is, what do we do, Father? To go to the airport is 50 euros. To come back is 50 euros. I'm talking about $120 to go see if our suitcase is there. So you try to get quiet. So we're going up. And I got a yes, very, very faint yes. Could be my mind, could be just easy my mind. And I asked Wendy to say, you know, what do you feel about it? So you're trying to connect, but very, very faint. And we're like, okay, I'm going to spend $120. I could get them. It's not even there.
You can't talk to them because they're speaking Greek.
Yeah, well, no, they can talk English. And so we went there. I ended up getting in there, and they have a place where all the luggage, the lost luggage, is roped off. And here's a line to pick up luggage. It's like an hour and a half wait when people try to find their lost luggage.
Dad had already done that.
Yeah, I've done an hour and a half before that. And then you're looking at it, and you see this big line, but all of a sudden you look over there, there's our suitcase right there. So it has a rope. You just lift up the rope, pull the suitcase out, and leave. And go get a cab. And they don't even know it. They still think, well, so we lost your luggage. Like, you contact me and say, how much was it valued? And you can't talk to them. But the point being that by doing that, we got all of our stuff, but it was very faint. So many times, you just got to go with it. And we're going to learn. You know, I'm 70 years old. We learn as we go, but there's so many things that are going in our path and giving us instruction. And if you don't try, you're never going to learn. So it's being intentional, and Aaron gave a prophecy, you're going to have disruptions. We had disruptions, but we never had to spend a night in a hotel. So we got there maybe 2 hours later than we were supposed to, which is great. And then about the cab, we told you about the cab, and so that's another, somebody already sent a messenger for us to say, hey, you know, watch out for this, because I could have paid him $49 maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to barter with the Greek and cuss him out in Greek. Okay, so we'll end on that. Walk by the Spirit, but be intentional. And the better you get, there's going to be other people who are very good at it because they can get quiet. And so whatever it takes for you to get quiet. So I have to go out and walk to be quiet. Other people can maybe sit and pray and be quiet by themselves. So whatever it takes, if you have to exercise, be quiet. Or whatever it takes for you to do, speak in tongues. Tap into it so you can stop and say, what do you have for me, Christ?
That's what I'm listening to. Going to the airport, I had to say, you go to the pool. And then I was in the room by myself, and I got on the phone with Lufthansa and everybody else and did all that stuff and got off the phone and went, no, I believe it's at the airport, but I can't go. I mean, I could go, but...
And if you ever get married, if you decide to get married, you've got to have somebody who's operating the Holy Spirit. And not just to say I'm a believer. No, you've got to be walking in the supernatural so we can get confirmation.
Yeah.
I can say, what did you get about? Well, I got a no on that. Huh, okay. Well, I got a yes, or I'm not sure, but you got a confirmation. So, because they're dark sayings. Well, Father, we're going here, according to 1 Corinthians 13 and prophecy. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, for these people in the future. Be at peace, and peace is where I dwell. Always get discard anxiety. Anxiety is not from me. You are my sons and daughters whom I have empowered with great spiritual ability. You must put on my son's mind as he walk in peace. You must also walk in peace, knowing and have full confidence in my ability to have you escape from every situation. Amen. See you next week.
I gotta tell Isaiah something.